Good morning. We'll call to order the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting for Friday, February the 8th. A couple of issues to get started. The Saturday portion of our meeting has been canceled because of the pending inclement weather. So those of you who are planning to come tomorrow, don't, because we're not going to be here. And as it relates to the agenda that most of you have that want it, on item 10, which is a staff update on Skagit Elk, was a briefing that has been postponed for the same reason. So having said that, thank you all for coming. Item 1A is commission discussion. Do any commissioners have any comments to get started?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. If I can find my notes. Bob, anybody?
No, nothing here. Thanks.
Okay, well, I have a couple. I want to read this because I want to be precise about what I'm saying. The commission is, we are announcing that the commission's formation of a new committee called the Wolf Advisory Committee. Members of that committee will be Barbara Baker, Jay Holzmiller, and Kim Thorburn. Ultimately, if the governor, when the governor appoints the fourth person, the ninth commissioner, we will consider that person to be the fourth member of this committee. Like other committees, unless the commission specifically delegates authority to act on a task, the committee does not have delegated authority to act on behalf of the commission. The Wolf Advisory Committee will work with staff at the upcoming March committee meeting, which is in Spokane, to set a scope responsibility list and timelines for the new committee. Any questions on that by anyone? Let me get back to my notes I did the other day. In the past, and we haven't had a formal executive committee meeting for some time, but in the spirit that we may want to in the future, the current executive committee is made up of Brad Smith, Bob Kehoe, and myself, and I would like to add Commissioner Baker to that list. The next item I got is commission agenda protocol. And what that is how we are going to put our meeting agenda together, and what the rules are, if you will. And the way it's going to work is if Tammy with staff puts the agenda together, and the commission gets it sent out electronically. If any commissioners have any changes, additions, or modifications to what comes out, they are to respond via email to Tammy and copy Commissioner Baker and myself. It's impossible to have nine people trying to create an agenda, so that's how we'd like to go forward with that. Does anyone have any comments or questions about that? Commissioner McKaysing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this matter of adopting the agenda, I think it's important that the full commission does reach some agreement on what the agenda is and have some expectation of what might spontaneously come up. So we currently have been making the first attempt at that at each commission meeting prior. So, for example, at this one, we have a discussion of what the March agenda would be here at the front table. So you didn't mention that in your remarks. Can we presume that you're not talking about displacing that in the process, and that we would continue at each meeting to have a discussion about what's coming up? And
we can do that, Commissioner McIsaac. I overlooked that, but I just want to streamline the process so we're more efficient, not leaving anybody out. And we'll get into it. And if you have any adjustments that we need to make, we can certainly do that. But that's, you understand the intent, certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And one other thing is, I do think it's important that the public be able to see what the agenda is for the next meeting well in advance, So if they're thinking about traveling to the next meeting, that they would know that. So.
Very good. Thank you. That's all I have. Anyone else have any additional comments? Seeing none. B is meeting minute approval. Does anyone have a motion on the...
I move that the meetings of the previous meeting be approved. I don't have the date.
January 25th, 2019.
January 25th, 2019 be approved.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Thank you. Motion carries. Committee reports. Anyone have any? Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll give a report of the Joint State Columbia River Policy Review Committee that had a meeting this past Wednesday, just a couple of days ago. I may slip into using the acronym PRC that we're using for that committee, the Policy Review Committee. That group did just meet in Ridgefield on February 6th. There are no minutes out quite yet, so I'll be speaking much from memory here. Commissioners Kehoe and Graybill are on that committee, and I would ask them to chime in at the end if there's anything that I've missed. And I see that the Washington point of contact, Mr. Ryan Lothrop, is in the audience, as is Assistant Director Ron Warren, who were in attendance also. And as a refresher, the purpose of the Policy Review Committee, as adopted at its initial meeting, is that the overarching goal is to achieve concurrent policies and regulations for 2019 and beyond. As a first step, to focus on the 2019 season and to have concurrency prior to the start of the North of Falcon process in mid-March. As a secondary priority, continue the dialogue on the long term beyond 2019 and make this the primary focus after mid-March. And this was also spoken to under the opening remarks at our meeting in Ridgefield. The first order of business there was to talk about 2019 policies and regulations, and that dominated the agenda. The meeting started at 9 and concluded just after 5. Most of the meeting was taken up on the analysis of four options. Four options, at least, were assigned at the previous meeting, and staff brought forward some analysis on three of those. So the analysis of these three new policy options were to be discussed in terms of the evaluation criteria agreed to at the January 17th PRC meeting in Salem, and to be compared to the pre-policy base period of 2010 to 2012. The evaluation criteria were to be the purpose or goal statements in the Washington policy document that may also be mirrored in the Oregon sequence of documents. And those three were the ability to meet or advance conservation goals, secondly, the ability to conduct orderly fisheries, and third, to advance the economic well-being of both the sport and commercial fishing industries. The fishery metrics within the economic criteria, well-being of the economics, that criteria, the fishery metrics were to be angler days of open season and angler trips and community personal income impacts. And for the commercial fisheries, it was to be ex-vessel value and community income impacts. The first of the options has the title of Transition Period Policies, and so that was called Option 1. In a discussion of developing a written description of this option, which we had hoped to see at this meeting but wasn't quite prepared, it was determined that the intent of this option is to freeze the policies that were in place during the transition year of 2016, together with a suite of hatchery production release goals for the Oregon terminal area safe fisheries.
As far as the analysis of that option, modeling results were presented and then modified during the course of the meeting. In general, it seemed to show a small gain in angler trips in comparison to the pre-policy base and negative economics for the commercial fishery in 2019. Both of those are 2019 evaluations. The modeling effort did string out to 2024, and it showed the commercial losses being made up for by 2024 with increases in hatchery releases in the Oregon safe areas, if they were to occur. The second option was titled 2018 Status Quo Policies, and there was a discussion about whether this option was the actual 2018 policies as implemented or the 2018 Washington policy. And after a discussion, the commissioners agreed that the option to be modeled and the references should be to the 2018 Washington policy, which is slightly different than what was implemented in 2018 with a lower commercial share and a little bit higher recreational share. After that clarity was secured, some modeling was done during the course of the meeting, which needs to be double-checked before any good comparisons can be made with the base period or comparisons to the transition period policies option. In general, however, the comparative look-see, so to speak, at the meeting showed that changes in angler trips and days was minor, and the economics were negative for the commercial fishery. The third option was called no loss of economic benefit potential, which I think meant no loss in the potential of achieving economic benefits in either the sport fishery or the commercial fishery compared to the base period of 2010 to 12, the pre-policy base period. There were two versions of this option that were displayed by the staff with modeling results. And as with the other two options, the values need to be double-checked in displays of direct comparisons to the base period and the other options prepared for the next meeting. In general, however, the comparative change in angler trips, again, was minor, and the economics were negative for the commercial fishery until such times that increased hatchery releases in the Oregon safe areas could make up the difference for the commercial fishery economics. The fourth option assigned in Salem was to allow the staff to come forward with any new ideas, and they were pretty overwhelmed with the workload just for these other three, and weren't sure if it was appropriate to venture into the policy realm of making decisions on a new option, and none was forthcoming. The next agenda item for 2019 had to do with barbless hooks, whether they be voluntary or mandatory, and the Young's Bay Sanctuary. Some staff assignments to staff were made, and there'll be further discussions at the next policy review committee. The secondary priority at the meeting had to do with 2020 and beyond, and that only got about an hour's worth of discussion at the meeting. The committee reviewed the matrix that was presented to this commission in December with some enhancement of the analysis options for the upriver and lower river sharing of spring Chinook. I think there was a suite of about 15 twists that could be considered to that. The committee sorted out the entire list for a few lower priority items and several high priority items, and the remainder to be in a medium category for further discussion at the next committee meeting. As a third agenda item, the committee looked at their future process and schedule, and after much discussion about how this would mesh with the North of Falcon process and also mesh with the ability of each full count commission to consider a recommendation of this committee, which has some difficulty in it. In the end, after perhaps some circular discussions, the end was to strive for a policy review committee recommendation about current policies for use in 2019 at the next meeting on February 26th, so that they can be presented to the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission for a decision at the March meeting in Spokane. And later, when we talk about our Spokane agenda, we should probably talk about the public comment opportunity there. So that means the committee will be striving for a single recommendation that this full commission would hear in Spokane. If that does happen, then the results of this commission's decision would come back to the next policy review committee meeting on March 14th, which is on the front shoulder of the Oregon March commission meeting that begins on March 15th, and they would take it up as a full commission. And if that ends up with the same decision, then there would not be a need for a face-to-face two full commission meeting. There was other eventualities that were talked about, but I'll just leave it at that, as that seemed to be the desired most efficient result. There was a whole variety of staff assignments, and there'll be some minutes to go out to get to some detail on that, but it will be a very full meeting the next time on February 26th, again with the primary objective of trying to reach a committee recommendation to both full commissions. So I'm sure I left out a lot of things. Maybe some of it wasn't characterized properly, so I'd offer the opportunity for these other two commissioners to comment.
Commissioner Kehoe, Commissioner Graybell, any comments?
Okay. Excellent report, Don. Very concise. A lot of large spreadsheets to digest during the process. I'm glad you began the report with the purpose of these meetings to achieve concurrency. We didn't get any closer to that at these meetings. I hope in that the next meeting we can dedicate some time to focus on that particular issue. I think it will be telling where we're going to arrive ultimately with Oregon, and just urge our work group and staff to help us focus on that, because that's, you know, again, was the priority item for these meetings.
Nothing for me. Thanks.
Thank you all. Good report. I'm going to do a very brief review of our Fish Committee meeting, which met last night. We only had one agenda item. We did have some free time, so we had some side discussions with the public that showed up. The agenda item we had last night was to get an updated briefing on pinniped issues as it relates to the fine work that the staff has done after the legislation went through, the signature by President Trump, to put together some plans to be able to reduce the abundances of sea lions that can be proven that they are damaging the salmon runs. I was just really, really pleased with the staff work. It's very, very in-depth and very scientific, and it takes a little while to absorb it. I think we've had, I don't recall if we had four or seven briefings on pinnipeds in the last year. And I think probably to some degree the staff might be getting tired of giving us those briefings, because sometimes we're like the deer in the headlights on some of the technical aspects of that. But it's been appreciated. They're going to take a little sabbatical on briefing us and come up with a different time frame as things go forward. But I think they're on the right track, and I think there's a one-year, if I remember the discussion, there's sort of a one-year timeout as we go through the process. Ron, could I ask you, there's a one-year, and I didn't make notes because there was a lot of discussion. 1 year is that we get to the point where we can actually start processing some needed animals. Sorry to call you up here unannounced, but
appreciate the opportunity, Chair Carpenter, Commissioners, Directors, Ron Warren with Fish Program. I emphasize Fish Program and the pinniped issue is a wildlife program. But the director's smiling really largely because him and I have this ongoing joke, but I'll keep that to ourselves for now. My understanding is that it was we were going to apply for the permit, and it was going to take 1 year to get through the NEPA process to get that going. So that's the detail that was missing.
Okay.
Thanks.
I apologize for not calling Eric up here. Good to see you this morning, Ron. Thank you.
Good to see you, too.
That concludes the committee reports for today.